Today I want to talk about a willing bride. A willing bride. Webster's defines willing as being inclined, favorably disposed in mind, ready, eager, without reluctance. Loved one, God is getting ready to bring great reward. The first part of the message actually could be called "The Camels Are Coming." Camels are interesting creatures. I'm going to look a little bit at them. Isaiah 60, verse 6 says, "Herds of camels will come to your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah and from Sheba. They will come bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord." Some of you have been waiting a long time, and the shaping of your life, as with a child, is all done in secret. You don't see the baby till the baby pops out. And when the baby pops out, there's usually a little bit of pain prior to that. And all the mamas said, amen. You want to kill the man. You want to kill the doctor. You want this thing out. You don't want to be touched. There's nothing that will please you. Loved ones, some of us have been pregnant for many long years, pregnant with promise. And yet God's been doing the shaping of our lives invisible, in private. Did you know when God was finished with Saul? He was finished with a leader. In 1 Samuel 16:1, he said to Samuel the prophet, "How long will you weep over Saul, seeing that I have rejected him? Fill thine horn with oil and go to Bethlehem to the house of Jesse, for there I have prepared a king before me." Samuel goes to Bethlehem. He goes to the house of Jesse. He comes in with his horn full of oil. He's ready to anoint the next king. And Jesse's sons all start being paraded before him. Eliab, best looking hunk of flesh in the empire, gifted, anointed, not gifted, smart and brilliant, but he wasn't anointed. They may be gifted, smart, and brilliant, but if they're not anointed, pass them by. Next. Seven sons go before Samuel, and Samuel goes, "The Lord has chosen none of these. Do you have any more kids?" For Samuel 16:11, he goes, "Well, there's David out there with the sheep. He's shoveling sheep poop." Did you know that Jesse, the father of David, was trying to hide him? Someone may be trying to hide you and your talent. It could even be a loved one. It could even be a family member. Jesse, the father of David, was hiding his gift. But God sent Samuel, and he made Eliab. He said, "Go get that boy. Bring him out." Loved one, some hidden things. Even if you've been held down by others, even if you've been invisible like a baby in the womb, God's coming to bring that baby out. He's a glorious midwife. He is going to bring front and center. And it doesn't mean anything that the powers of hell let loose have been trying to hold you down, little beach ball. You're coming up. God said, "Go to the house of Jesse. My king is hidden there by his own daddy." Did you know sometimes your enemies can be in your own house? Sometimes the one holding you down can be the closest person to you, but God will break right through that show and send Samuel and say, "Get up there. The boy's out there with the sheep." And you know what he did? He made Eliab the jealous, handsome, gorgeous, unanointed boy, go get his baby brother. Irony. God loves to rub it in a little bit. Oh, hey, highly gorgeous but unanointed Eliab, would you go get your little brother and bring him in? And Samuel said, "I will not sit down to dinner until you bring him in." Some hidden folk are going to be brought forward soon. The devil's a liar.
They're just holding me down and I don't know.
Just wait. Don't worry. God will come and get you. He knows your cell phone number. And he really knows where you are.
Are they there? Well, they're at church.
They're not at church. God knows where you are. He will come right down and get you when you're ready. We're going to talk about a willing bride. I just want to talk about the traits right now. And when I speak of the bride, I'm talking corporately. I'm talking about you, loved one. The first text is in Psalm 110, verse 3. "Your troops will be willing on the day of your battle." One translation says, "Your children will be willing in the day of your power." Do you know this whole psalm, Psalm 110, is a psalm about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and it describes him as a glorious warrior, but it also describes him as a priest. who lives forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Messiah is the warring Lord and King, but he's also a priest. And did you know all of you as his people are soldier priests? Did you know this? Look at the idea. Soldier priest, someone who can fight and viciously prevail as a soldier, yet they have a priestly heart that can weep over the broken. Wow. A priestly, sympathetic person who has the power to fight. What a strange image. In Psalm 110, the Messiah is seen as the great king. He's the lamb and the lion. Did you know both of those? He's the lamb. Ooh, look at the lamb. Oh, he's so cute. He's so cute. And he's the lion that roars, and all of heaven and hell flee away. He's the mighty king. But you know, there's something about becoming a soldier priest, and I'm speaking over your life. A soldier becomes a soldier by enduring difficulties and prevailing. That's how you become a soldier. How do you become a priest? Having your soul crushed and ground out of you to realize how sinful you are and how broken you are and how incapable you are of doing anything but sin. That'll crush you into priestly sympathies. Soldier types are usually, all right, come on, the Bible says it, let's go in and take it. Okay, well, let's match with a soldier's heart, a priestly sympathy. He'll go in with a sword, but he'll weep while he's doing battle. God has been nurturing soldier priests. This next outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you know what's about to come visible? First Kings 19:18, I have 7,000 that have not bowed a knee to Baal nor kissed his mouth. You know what the newest, truest, best, and blessed thing is? It's a whole generation of soldier priests brought out of caves where they've been hidden. They're strong, but they're tender. They're tender, but they're strong. Isn't it beautiful? Do you know what meekness means? The Bible says Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. Do you know what meekness means? It means you can hold a little tiny bird in your hand and have absolute power to crush its life away, but you would never do it. It's velvet-covered steel. It's restraint.
A meek person isn't Casper Milk Toast. You know, I'm sorry. You know, I exist. I'm so sorry.
That's not meekness. That's bipolar behavior. There's a pill for it, I promise. Meekness is someone who is so, it's Bruce Lee walking away from a fight. You know, I had a friend that was a mentor to me when I was 16. His name, I won't tell his name because he's very famous now. But you know what he used to do? He was a martial artist. And he was in a park one day, and a bunch of boys thought they were just going to have some fun and cussing him out, provoking him. And this man could kill everybody in this room and then stretch and get comfortable. These boys were taunting him. You know what? If you're truly meek, you can walk away from that. So he walked away, and one of them threw a bat at him. And he went smack and broke the thing, turned around, broke it in midair. And just stood there, and they all just felt led to move on to another. Meekness is not garish expression. That's pride. Meekness says, oh my God, help me. You're a soldier, you got strength, but you also have priestly sympathies. You see those twin realities God's building in your life? The strong people need to be crushed and ground to powder. So for a little while, they're just crying about everything because it's empathy. Empathy is expensive. Sympathy is cheap. Poor thing. Did you hear they lost their house? I know. It's terrible. Their hair's on fire and their kids have all gone. I know. Isn't it terrible? That's sympathy. Whatever. I plots, I fall down. Lenny, get the car. Isn't that terrible? That's sympathy. Empathy is when you've been through a divorce and you're dealing with somebody whose soul is torn out of their body and you with tears can say, I've been there, baby. I love that. Costs something. It costs everything. But it'll make you a good soldier priest. You need your sword and you need your scepter of grace and your sword of truth. The Lord is about to release. It's not some noisy, garish display. Talked to a dear friend of mine that's been in ministry for 40 years. I said, what do you think God's doing? He said, well, he's a great worship leader in the world. And he said, Craig, there's a lot of worship now, and I see it just like hordes of helium balloons, but the strings aren't tied to any root. They're just sort of floating everywhere. But in a pinch, there's no grounding. There's no root. Who you are at 3 a.m. when the enemy attacks you is what you are. When we all get together and shout, that's easy. The Lord my God is with me. Hey, be bold. Wait till 3 a.m. when the devil comes to rattle your cage, you cute little thing. Soldier priest. Oh, really? I was so pompous when I was young. Oh, my God. I didn't mean to be. I thought I was godly, but I used to say things like, by the time my hand hits that door, the devil's going to leave the room. And it would happen. But the devil just said to me, he was waiting for me. I was a prime rib steak. He was going, come on, baby. Yeah, come on, baby. Lay on the plate. Come on, you cute. Oh, I was cute in my day. I was cute. I was so smart and anointed. I'd come in, 3 rows of people fall over. What are you going to do with that? Loved one, when God wants to bless your life, he sends people into your life. When the devil wants to curse your life, he sends people into your life. Just take that right there. Hold on. So like Gretchen, be utterly isolated for the rest of your life. And all the people said, let me get my Visine here. Don't tell the people what I'm doing on the tape. All right. Have you ever thought you were something? Then you go to a crushing. Don't worry, baby. You crush the oil. You crush the olive to get the oil. You crush the grape to get the wine. I'm going somewhere here. My people shall be willing in the day of my power. His soldier priests that have been prepared. You're a soldier. You've endured everything. You're a priest. You've been crushed, and you're better, and you're not bitter. This unique group of soldier priests are also going to be willing in the day of his power. When he releases them from the cave, they are sensitive to his spirit and willing. Loved one, I'm talking encouragement to some of you. The Lord has seen your willingness. I want to talk a few minutes about, from the book of Genesis chapter 24, about Rebekah, the bride of Isaac. I want to speak some traits. Now, I'm not talking about just male-female stuff right now, though the story, and let me give it to you quick. The story is Abraham is about to die, the great patriarch. He sends his servant Eliezer out to get a wife for his son. Does that theme sound interesting? God the Father sends God the Holy Spirit out to get a bride for the son. You're the bride of Christ, loved one. If you accepted Jesus, you're his bride. You're who I'm talking about. Abraham sends his servant out, and he says to the servant, I want you to go, and I want you to find a bride for my son. Swear to me that you will not go to the Canaanites, but you will go to my own kinsmen. The servant says, yes, sir. And he goes out. He loads up 10 camels, and they go forth looking for the bride. Did you know God knows your heart, sweetheart? He's sending the camels. They're on the way. Camels are those beasts of burden. They can carry 400 pounds plus the rider. They can go 7 days without food and water and go 100 miles a day. Amazing creatures. And they're born to bear blessing. So Abraham sends his servant out in Genesis 24 and he says, go get a bride for my son. So he heaps up 10 camels with riches and he covers up the riches. And it takes a long while to get there. But before he gets to the town he's going to, he prays. The servant says, Lord, I have a fleece for you. I want the right wife for Isaac. So here's my fleece. You know what a fleece is? Lord, if you want me to go there, let this light turn green right now. Lord, if you want me to go out with him, let the light turn green right now. Ooh, it went turn green. Watch about fleeces. You can get fleeced. But his fleece isn't, Lord, show me Isaac's wife, you know, by giving me a Starbucks frap extra shimmy. It wasn't a little fleece. It was have the young girl walk out with her water pot and have her offer to give drink to all my 10 camels. That sounds pretty. That's pretty iffy. Who's going to do that? Let's talk about what's involved there. His camels finally land. There's 10 of them, and they're laden with riches and favor that she doesn't know. And a little girl, about 14, 15, her name is Rebekah. She's down in the spring with her water pot, and the servant of Abraham is sitting up there with all of his men, able-bodied men, 10 camels, and they're watching this young girl. And Eliezer watches her, and he sees her go down to the spring and fill up her water pot full of water for her. He didn't say a word to her until she filled up the water pot for her. She comes up and he says, give me to drink. She goes, yes, sir. And he steps down and she immediately takes the pot from her shoulder down to her hip because it would be inappropriate and immodest for him to come and stand near her cheek or mouth to drink out of a vessel. She's a modest girl. What's wrong with a little modesty again in our time? Eliezer takes a drink. See, he wanted to wait and see until she filled her vessel because he knew if she was truly a kind and gracious and willing servant, she would be willing to give what's hers to a complete stranger. It's one thing for you to give what somebody else has to somebody. It's another thing to give out of your own pot what's yours. That'll show a level of kindness. So this young girl comes up. She's full of chesed, the Hebrew word, loving kindness, graciousness, just like Abraham is. Abraham didn't just show love to people that came to him. He went to the crossroads and brought people in. Affectionate, loving chesed, the primary virtue of loving kindness. And little Rebecca comes out. And she's got her own water for her own needs to be met, but she's willing to give of that without a question. Yes, sir. And he drinks. Now, he's probably got parched, nasty lips, and she can't touch her lips to that. All right? So she's wise, too. She says, let me just pour the rest of this out for your camels. So she's wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, doesn't offend him, gives of her own portion without asking anything in return. You know, some people do something for you, but they want it. Ka-ching, ka-ching, hello? I'll go down and get the water in the spring, but that's a lot. This is what she does. And these able-bodied men are on the camels, right? And all the wives said, amen, doing nothing, just watching. And she begins this ascending and descending. Some of you in life, you've been going down. She had to go down to the spring, fill this thing up with water, come all the way back up and pour it in the trough. Camels can drink 20 to 25 gallons of water in 10 minutes. They drink 40 gallons in one sitting. In one day, 50 gallons is what they'll drink until they're sated. And there's 10 of them. So without saying a word, they're just watching this phenomena. Descending, ascending. Eventually she brings by herself, without any help from the men, a ton of water up from the spring. I felt the Lord spoke that word to me this week. He said, tell my people I see them and I see the struggles and I see the weights they've been bearing and I've seen you descend. And nobody helps you. And you ascend again. Nobody helps you. But the Lord's servant says, I see you. I see you, baby. I see a ton of water. I see every tear. I see every weight you've been bearing while no one else has been lifting a hand. But hold on. Look at what it's revealing. She's a willing woman. She's modest. She's sensitive. She's other-focused. And she's just willingly doing this, and they're just going, did you know there's a lot of people looking at the life choices you've made to serve the Lord, and they're going, oh, look at what she's surviving. Look at what he's going through. Look at what she's willing to do without being noticed. Look at what he's doing. Loved one, what you are is being formed while no one's looking at you so that one day when you're well-formed, you can be brought out. Rebecca's just doing this by nature. You know what her name means? It means a noose around the cattle's neck. Now, I want to put a good light on that for just a minute. It means someone yoked. All right. Now, this could mean you're going to be hung, or it could, in a positive way, mean that you're a blessing that surrounds and holds and dispenses chesed, loving kindness. Some of you have been so loving and so kind, and you've been descending and ascending, and everybody's just been watching you, and there's been no fanfare, no praise track. One of the greatest preachers of our time, who you would know if I mention, used to go to a yearly meeting called Azusa Street, and he would sit in the nosebleed section with 30,000 people. Called of God, anointed of God, mighty man. He's transformed the culture. But he said, I used to sit up there and look down at that platform so far away and watch people speak and hear people sing. And he said, I wouldn't lust after it, but I'm born for that. And he always thought, God, how are you going to get me from here to there? Don't worry. The camels are coming that will give you the lift that you need, that will bring the reward. But see, God's been waiting to see you develop into who you are, a kind, willing, loving, Rebecca-like spirit. Isn't she a great girl? And it happens to say she was beautiful. But she was a phenomenon in her willingness to serve when no one was looking. And she had no idea that weirdo asking to drink from her cup.
What did weirdo want a cup of drink from my coffee? Can I have a drink here, Starbucks?
Total stranger. What the heck is that? No, you may not. Drink from my Starbucks. You can drink, but you're going to keep it. That's what Rebecca did subtly. Isn't that great? You want a sip? There you go. Okay, I'll give the rest of the camels. Wise. You got to know when not to drink from somebody's vessel, you know.
I thought the sores had cleared up.
Well, you were wrong. She's being watched. They're in awe. I'm not telling you need to be a perfect Christian. I'm saying you can be an imperfect Christian with a perfect heart, a willing heart. Chesed, loving kindness. You know what characterized Rebecca? The servant's getting excited because he knows the camels are laden with gold and silver and bracelets and the entire retinue of a wife-to-be for Isaac. But she doesn't know while she's ascending and descending with one ton of water. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the help. You know, it's one thing to promise. It's another thing to fulfill a promise. Rebecca comes up and says, I'll feed your camels. I'll water them. Well, that sounds nice, but that's a ton of water. It's a lot of work ascending and descending. It's easy to promise. It's hard to fulfill a promise, isn't it? Whew. I know it's good. I know you're overwhelmed, stupefied, petrified, so touched you can't respond. You have a willing heart, so many of you. You are soldier priests. You're strong by what you've endured. You have priestly sympathies by the crushing you have been going through. And by the way, a soldier priest has to go through both. There is no pill you can take to miss the crushing. I used to go to seminars that said, if you do these three things and pull these right pulleys, you will always be on top. And we would all go buy all their tapes and everything. Then everybody would fall into the pit within a week. Watch out for the demons on the way back from the revival meeting. You're on the top of the mountain until you're pushed, Princess Bride, you know, as you wish, you know, going down the mountain. Wesley, my love, you know, loved one. There are things you learn going down that mountain, like, I feel a little ashamed. Gosh, this is awkward. You know, speaking of that, let me just salve my left eye for a little bit here in the name of awkwardness. Good Lord. If you knew everything that happened to me this week and I wake up with an eye botch, I was in hysterics. I love everything at my age. It's like, yes, Lord, bring it on. Loved one, your willingness and your tenderness of heart is what God is looking for. You can fall and have a perfect heart. Jesus said to Peter, the devil has longed to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed that your faith not fail. He didn't pray he wouldn't fail. He prayed his faith wouldn't fail. You can fail, and your faith hasn't failed. Remember that old commercial, the old lady laying down? I've fallen, and I can't get up. Remember that one? And you push your little Identa badge or something, and they ignore you for another hour. You can fall and not want to be there. You can have a perfect heart with an imperfect life. God's looking for that willing heart. Rebecca's got it. Well, here's the good news. You are Rebecca. I'm talking to Rebeccas today. Men and women whose hearts are right, and you've been ascending and descending. You've been going, bearing burdens nobody will ever know, and it's not their business. Some things are too sacred to reveal to others. You know what? Tell your secrets. Don't you ever tell anybody else's. First of all, you don't have the truth. You get three Christians together, you have four opinions. So first of all, it isn't true. Half-truths are like half bricks. They fly further and do more damage. Half-truths are whole lies. I've heard lies about me. People telling me didn't know I was me, telling me lies about myself. Evidently, I was quite an adventurer in my day. They came up and said, I heard about Craig Johnson. I went, really, what? What? That dog. And they started telling a James Bond Daniel Craig story that I didn't even want to correct. It sounded so wonderful. You think I did that? Well, I eventually told them I'm Craig Johnson, and they just, you know. I said, but go on. That sounds so amazing. Loved one. They said, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What's happened in your cave in life, God will blow the bombs up by the bomb squad. You know, sometimes God will just bring the bomb squad to your house and put in all those bombs and seal the thing and go, and just sort of, huh? Instead of you killing everyone in the neighborhood, he implodes all your weirdness. And then when you finally come out, praise the Lord, you can look incredibly dapper. Hello, everybody. You know, and if they saw what you've been through. Rebecca, your willing spirit is precious to God. Here come the camels. The camels are coming. That little girl just was always being gracious and loving kindness was a part of her nature, just like Abraham, her relative. And she was just right for Isaac because her spirit, she didn't carry the water because she had to. Okay, I'll water your camels. In the name of Jesus, who am I watering a camel? I'm called to great things. Watering these men sitting up here watching won't lift a finger. You see, that's not Rebecca. That's somebody else. Camels aren't coming for you. Do you know what? I saw this image one time. It was a lady under Niagara Falls with her cup upside down, praying, oh God, more water. Lord, bring more water. There's not an ounce in my cup. How about turning the cup right side up? I don't think we need more water. You're under Niagara Falls. The cup is upside down. Sometimes in life, oops. It isn't about needing more water. It's like you not getting the radio signal. Lord, give the radio signal more strength. No, how about fix your little car radio? The signal's already fine. The problem's inside your car. Right? Turn the cup right side. Did you ever notice you can be riding with the wind, then all of a sudden you turn around, you're riding against the wind. The wind is against me. No, turn the bike around. You got to interpret things right in your life. You know, you're petting a cat, and then the cat gets up and moves the other way. Now that loving stroke is a curse to... But I'm just loving the cat. You know, sometimes, honey, sometimes it's a simple answer. There's no mystery to your history. I'm concluding. The camels show up. Rebecca's unaware. And you know when God will just bring the camels of provision, blessing, and favor, and destiny to you is when you've completely given up on everything. You just go, you know what, whether God ever uses me or not, I'm going to blow up all those personal prophecies I've had. I don't care. You're my portion. You're enough. I just need strength to do the next right thing. And all of a sudden, you're just being kind when no one's looking, and you're loving other people, and your heart is willing. And God says, the camels are coming. Don't worry. She didn't even notice that all those camels she was watering bore her bridal ornaments. Oh, my God, my God. I want to encourage you, some of you, the camels are coming for you. Some of you have been waiting a long time. Some of you have been in a cave as a soldier priest. Tempered, yes. But you know, you go through a difficulty. The devil says one thing, God says another. The devil says, ah, this is the end, this is the way your life is going to be. And God says, excuse me, this is a means to an end. This isn't the end. This is a means to an end. This is just, don't worry, you're not going to get stuck here. But you know, God will bungee drop you into an awful lot of nonsense in your life. I believe I have the bungee drop anointing. He would bungee drop. I've been bungee dropped into every conceivable human experience that you would never, ever want to spend any time in. But you know one thing, if I give myself a little credit, it doesn't take me long to be dropped into hell and go, I don't like it. Boom, there goes Craig. Craig, how do you like this life? Nope. You know what I mean? It's just like you taste it, but you get out of it. You know, some people fall in the mud and they get out and it just reeks in them. They never get it out of them. Other people fall in the mud and they get right up and it falls right off. You went through it, but it didn't get into you. You're in it, but not of it. Did you notice that? God, some bungee drop folk are here. You've been dropped into everything and you know, it's not that. I don't want that. Lord, take me out of that. And he will glean the best wisdom out of it and leave you with that and wash everything else off. Take heart, the camels are coming. Some of you, favor, blessing, destiny, it's coming. It's close, but it's your willing heart. He's looking for a willing bride, not a perfect bride, but a willing bride. You can always say, Jesus, forgive me all my sins through your blood, but I do love you so. I love you with all my heart. Rebecca had no idea anyone was watching. She would not withhold the finest loving kindness she had to a total stranger. All right, we're closing this thing up. Come on back up. Come on up. Loved one. Romans 15:4 says, everything that happened in the Old Testament happened to teach us a lesson. Here's the lesson. He's coming for you. You're not hidden to him. He sees you're a diamond that's been forged underground in the dark under inconceivable pressure, but he has ordained that that will all wind up a diamond in a crown, a necklace, or a bracelet. He will come and get you, sweetheart. Even if people in your own family are trying to hold you down. Jesse didn't want his son David to get any attention. The prophet went and said, I will not have dinner and sit down until you bring him up. They'll come and get you. Make God come and get you. He's so good at it. And all of a sudden, those of you pregnant for decades with a dream or a vision or a hope, and you just think, I'm just eternally pregnant without any relief, that vision will have its season. But you don't want any other season. You want the right season. Amen? You know, I've gotten to the age, I'm not holy, I'm just old. But I've gotten to the age where if it, whatever it is, doesn't come with Jesus, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want them. I don't want her. I don't want that. I don't want anything that does not come with Jesus Christ. We've seen what we can do. We've seen what the devil can do. Now let's see what God can do in this next season where he is bringing the camels of love and provision and kindness to his willing bride. I just speak that beautiful spirit of Rebecca. Lord, thank you for those under the sound of my voice that are willing and are precious. And they have no idea that the camels are laden with kindness for them, with hope for them. God sees the ton of weight that you've been carrying. He sees your willing heart. He sees your motive is pure and sensitive, and you've been responsible, and you're the embodiment of hospitality, even to complete strangers. Loved ones, sometimes monumental blessings can hang on unseen moments. He loves you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I I'm desperate for you. He loves you. He sees your sweet spirit, and he loves you, honey. And I'm lost without you. Can you sing it? The camels are coming. Yes, desperate. I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without your love. And I'm lost without you. Oh, loved one, he's coming for you. He sees you. The whole world may ignore you, but he sees you. Just keep bearing your burdens with the delightful spirit. Just keep going to the spring and filling up the pitcher and gladly pouring out the water in the trough without reward. Your very word. Be encouraged. Spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. And I'm lost without you. Jesus loves you and he will come and get you. No one will be left behind. You won't be left behind. You can just lay limp, no strength at all. He'll come and get you, because in your total weakness, his strength has fulfilled its purpose. Did you know when we're weak, he goes, my purpose is fulfilled. Now I can come. Their resources are gone. Now mine are just beginning. It's good to be weak before him. It's good to be powerless in your own strength. I'm desperate for you. Oh Lord, isn't I? I'm lost without you. He's in this house. His angels are in this house. Just close your eyes. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, great lion, lamb, great soldier, priest. You're the strongest, and you love us more than we love ourselves. Lord, we're honored to be soldier priests, hidden away in a cave. We just live to serve you, and we long to fight and destroy the enemy and help the downtrodden and broken. Lord, we will show loving kindness to everyone without being asked in your name, because we love you. You first loved us, so we know how to love. Bless your name. What a privilege to be called by your name. What a privilege to be servant of God. Lord, we just rededicate our lives again for your purposes. Forgive our sins, Lord. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness through your blood. Take vessels of honor, Lord, and cleanse them and put them in a prominent place, O God. But we rebuke the devil. He's a liar. God's not finished with you yet. You may be finished with you. Others may be finished with you. But loved one, you're just a soldier priest earning your stripes. Take heart. The camels are coming. Thank you. He'll lift you up. Camels give you a lift. They gave Rebecca a lift. That little girl. The man came down. It says he put a bracelet on her wrist and needed gold. And he said, will you go and marry my Lord? And she said, I will go. It was all up to her. She said, I'll go. I'll go anywhere. And she got a lift on those camels and went into a new life. And did you know the Bible says that Isaac had just lost his mama and he was standing in a field by himself crying, and he saw camels coming in the distance. He had no idea his bride was coming. And it said she said, who is that? And she lighted off the camel, and it said he loved her instantly. It was love at first sight. The son found the bride. The father sent the spirit to bring the son a bride. Your favor's coming, your blessing's coming, your hour's coming. Do not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. Someone say amen.
Give the Lord some praise right there when you're...